This is Solve It for Kids.
Hello, my amazing and curious friends. My name is Jennifer, the Dean of all things STEM and STEAM, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek inside the real world of scientists, engineers, and experts as they solve problems in their jobs using creativity, cooperation, and critical thinking. And now please welcome to the show my podcast partner, Galactic Space Geek, Jeff Gagne!
Hello, Jennifer, and hello, listeners! And the crowd goes wild! That's right! We are going to have the crowd going wild. The crowd is you guys, listeners. The crowd going wild for a fascinating conversation today, Jen.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun. What problem are we solving?
How are sports and STEM related?
How are sports and STEM related? Oh my gosh. This is like my entire childhood. I grew up doing science and sports. So I am very excited. Who do we have as our guest today, Jeff?
That's right, Jennifer. And that's why the crowd's going wild. Today we have Sean Barton. And I love his title. He is the Chief Value Officer at STEM Sports.
Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thank you. Happy to be here. Excited.
We are excited too, because we are going to be talking about sports, which I have been probably playing slash watching sports since I was a tiny little person because I have three brothers. So if there is a sport out there, I've either watched it and or played it.
Right.
It's crazy. So I'm curious, Sean, now that I've said how long I've been doing sports, have you loved sports your whole life?
I have. It's pretty much been my life, even to this day. Let's say I was a kid. Remember the first time I ever picked up a basketball, 6 years old.
Okay.
First time I ever spun a golf club through baseball. You know, so it's a huge part of my life.
That's awesome. Do you have a favorite sport? I'm going to jump in ahead of Jeff. That's always a hard one, isn't it?
You know, it is. You know, it's very close between basketball and baseball. You know, okay. I give basketball a nod. It was the one that I chose to play from high school to college, even though baseball is probably my stronger sport.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Basketball challenges me a little bit more, but it's a sport that basketball probably takes a nod. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay. And did you have any idea, as even as you were a basketball and a baseball player, that later on in life, sports might be a career for you?
I did. You know, of course, as any young person thinks about, they want to be a professional,
right?
Basketball,
yes.
Or baseball player, and that's okay. It's good to have those dreams.
Sure.
So yeah, that was a big part of my life growing up, was just, yeah, wanting to be a professional athlete, which again, that was exciting for me. Eventually I got to an age where, you know, reality set in and to compete against some of those players at a higher level. And it was good because it humbled me, made me work harder, but also maybe work in other facets of life professionally as well to grow myself.
So, okay. So what did you end up doing then in sports?
You know, initially just, you know, from the very start out of school, just began to really just coach some young kids in basketball, fourth, fifth grade, doing some officiating at that level. Eventually it led to working as a sports coordinator, working my way up through the ranks. And eventually it led to being an administrator at the school level as an athletic director, coach, building and growing programs,
okay,
writing curriculum, teaching to physical education within that sphere. And there was the business component to it as well, as far as more around operations. And that's where my schooling kind of led me to. My professional development side kind of led me into that kind of youth development, education, academic space.
Okay. That took us quickly out of the just playing sports, and sports is also admin, learning, business. Sports is all of those things. And just to have sports as part of your life, it doesn't mean just the athletes.
Absolutely. You know, and that's something that I really wanted to focus on today and talk about, is we have so many kids that I've coached, and probably more so the parents out there want their child, they think they're going to be the next I'm going to say my favorite basketball player ever was Larry Bird or
Michael Jordan,
MJ, Kobe Bryant. Like Kobe Bryant, it was wonderful as far as what he did, not just on the court, but off the court. So many great athletes out there.
Sure.
But, you know, I think that I tried to look at it as how can I use, you know, what I've learned as a young person and how can that transcend in the real world? And I think it to get parents to understand that I think it's less than around 2% or less than 2%, even at the junior college level, go on to play collegiate sports.
Yes.
But I think you're going to play at any form of professional level is very, very low. So as you kind of mentioned, Jeff, or you alluded to, sports can lead to so many good things in life, both personally and professionally.
Yes.
Indeed.
Growing, you know, the whole person. We look at sports as far as effectively working with others, socialization. We think of team play, being able to work with others.
Right.
We think of strategic planning. How do you strategize as a team? Health and wellness. They just really do a good job of developing the whole person. And that was something that I was at a young age, I never thought about, never knew until I
got No, you don't think about that.
Yeah, no, not at all. So it kind of led me down the path of now what I do today, infusing STEM with something, again, that can help our educators and students likewise take, you know, with them their whole life. Again, both personally and professionally.
Right. So that kind of leads into what we're talking about today. So how are sports and STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math related? You know, how have you pulled that kind of together in your life and what you're doing with STEM sports?
You know, firstly, I want to say that I was just this opportunity that presented about 3.5 years ago when I got to review this curriculum. I just feel so honored that I was able to do something like this because not everyone, as intentional as some of us may be when we look at our careers and what we go into, we may be, but sometimes things don't always turn out right away the way we want them to or transcend to that. So first, I'm very blessed to do what I do for a living because when I think of, as well as I know, sports and writing curriculum, bringing the third piece of STEM and how it corresponds with sports,
right?
It was a great marriage.
Yes.
And then most importantly, how do you serve the greater good? That's my goal in life. How do I serve educators, students for generations to come? And this opportunity with this job 3.5 years ago presented itself to me. And to get into some of the specifics as to how we do that, we think of, let's just take a, you know, something you may not think about. I'm going to use one of my favorite STEM lessons that we've written. And it's based on sustainability. Students will build a golf course, but a sustainable golf course.
Oh, wow.
Thinking about the three P's, people, profit, and planet.
Okay.
So when I think of where I grew up in Eastern Michigan, a lot of water all over the state, surrounded by five lakes.
Sure.
We think about that. Then we think about, I've lived in Arizona 8-9 years, and we use a lot of resources here.
Yes.
And that costs money, and it does affect the planet. So we have to look at, you know, how do we look at the kind of the sustainable piece, the earth science piece of it, on a golf course? How do we sustain, keep that golf course up? Is it players that go through every day? Massive divots out there. They want it to be nice and pristine, the course. And we have to kind of think about that and how many resources we use. And that delves into that kind of the earth science.
Right.
Right.
That correspond with earth science. So most people wouldn't think of that. So that's just one example. Of course, speaking to my days of playing as a pitcher in college, I think about, you know, was I able to generate more velocity on various pitches?
Yes.
You know, well, the way to do that is really to obviously using mass behind, you know, my upper and lower extremities. How do I generate more velocity by using the lower half, using your body as opposed to just being stationary? So that would introduce Newton's second law. So the physics behind it. And we go through in our curriculum, we demonstrate by way of standards in both 3.5 and 6.8. You know, obviously there's more, going to be more academic rigor at 6.8, but both have their challenges here and there. We present corresponding visuals as to what that looks like and how we break that down and the methodology behind that. But we do it in a way that is very intuitive. The scope and sequence of our lessons and the way we write them is very easy as a teacher to apply the application of it, as well as for the students to be able to understand, learn, and interpret it. And again, going back to our conversation from the beginning, how do they take this into the real world? Well, each of our, and we could speak more to this if you have questions around this, there are 5 jobs that correspond with every one of our lessons. Those jobs directly relate to that lesson. So how can you, students ask, what do I need to learn this for? How am I going to use
it? Right.
Yeah.
Popular question.
Exactly. Well, here's five jobs right here that you can actually use. And we have 150, 200 jobs on our website that basically correspond with all of our curricula that we've written. So that encompasses exactly why we do what we do and how we connect STEM with sports. It's that mindfulness piece to understand you can do this. This is where jobs are going to.
Right,
wrong, or indifferent. This is where jobs are in that STEM sphere. So I hope that gives you kind of an idea and some information as far as what we do, how we do it. I can certainly provide more details as well.
Yeah,
it does. And I definitely want to get some more details about that. I have a different way I want to ask sort of our main question of how STEM and sports go together. I feel like coming into this interview, I feel like a very generic thought on STEM and sports out in the world is STEM is geeks, sports is athletes. And the geeks and the athletes don't necessarily go together. Those two circles don't necessarily overlap in a Venn diagram. How do you address sort of that level of thinking from either end of the spectrum, either the geeks with sports or the athletes thinking back to STEM?
That's a great question and thought. So this is something that comes up a lot at the trade shows that I attend. And I often speak to, and I want to say for the geeks out there, I'm going to call the athletes jocks because I was.
Okay.
So you're right. You look at the STEM side of it. You think of the student. Then we look at the sports side. We think of the athlete.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So traditionally that student probably wasn't always comfortable in the sports, sector.
Or may not have been, yeah.
Yeah, our curriculum does that. The way we have designed it, the way we have written it, you don't have to be, the best athlete to be able to engage and really follow through with the physical literacy engagement around our lesson. Now, the other side of that is the athlete to being more on the academic side. So a lot of the students that I coached and taught, most of my male students struggled with certain things unless I brought something like sports into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Exactly what our curriculum does. It bridges that gap because of the hands-on, the physical literacy, the learning. It engages them. The application is written in a way, in the way it's implemented, that just engages both sides, both STEM,
I love
student,
that.
And the athlete. Of course, the way it's written, you write a curriculum, you're always going to start with, I'm sure Jennifer, you know this, you always want to start with the standards before you get into the sports piece of it. Standards are going to dictate where that's going to go. And the standards, what's the purpose? Is for how do we, measure our student success and our teacher's success? Well, standards do that.
Yes.
So when we write that, I always think of first, the STEM student always comes before the athlete. And I think that's something, just to be on this podcast today, that I really want to reiterate, being a former student athlete, and I say this to my niece and my nephews, that, school always comes first. You're a student.
Yes.
Because we go back to that percentage of an athlete playing college sports really low, doesn't mean you can't get there, but put those studies first. That's really, really important. If that answers kind of your question, Jeff.
It does. Well,
so what I love about sports and STEM and, how we met is because I wrote a book called The Secret Science of Sports. Is what I love about it is that it's science and technology and engineering math in action. So some of these STEM concepts are a little difficult for people to understand. I will admit it, it depends on, especially when you're talking numbers and physics and angles and all this kind of stuff. But if you take a ball outside and you just have them throw it at different angles, and also imagine, you're a quarterback and you're throwing it and someone's going down straight and then turning to the right. And so I think when kids see this in action, and then you go back and you say, did you know what angle you threw that ball at? Right. And you go back and you show them the math diagram and they're like, really? Is that what I did? Then that makes it all kind of come together. Do you find that that's what you guys are doing there?
Oh, absolutely. One of the first kind of in that same vein, one of the first things I wrote, it was on our website. It was a short piece So it was 3 years ago. It was the Toronto Raptors. Kawhi Leonard had a shot out of the corner to win the game.
Okay.
And the amount of arc on that shot, it was crazy. And
right.
So I was, and I spoke to kind of the trajectory of that shot and how it actually, the science behind it. And of course, that gets kids science, they get some engaged. They love seeing that.
Oh, yes.
And of course, you know, rotations per minute on the ball to make that happen. I don't want to get too specific about that. But that's kind of, you know, yeah, you're absolutely right. There's so much there. But at the same time, the beauty of it is that you're excited about, but you're also learning something.
Yes.
You're learning something you can take with you, you know, to help others. But no, I agree. Angles, we do a lot of lessons around angles and geometry, the M and STEM. It's a significant portion of our curriculum.
Sure. So I actually remember that shot that Kawhi took. I can picture him taking it. I remember that. So very cool that you wrote that piece. A lot of businesses that are doing really good things out there have sort of what I call the wow factor. They mm-hmm. have certain things that just kind of hit and pop with everybody that come across their sphere. Can you give us an example of one of your curricula lessons that you have found sort of catches a lot of interest?
That's a good question. I mean, and this is kind of a good thing that I don't know if there's one specific lesson that does.
Okay.
Maybe more of a...
Is there like a concept, maybe?
I would say...
Not just a lesson?
Yeah, you know, if I was to really look at, you know, what were our top, you know, interest is, our sellers with our curricula, you know, we have, it's students wanting to connect the dots between each sport, learn each sport and STEM behind it.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Our largest seller is multi-sport because it gives you, it's broken
okay.
down in a variation. You get a taste of each sport, four sports. And that's both at the 3-8 level and the K-2 level. K-2 is a standalone curriculum. Then 3-8 is a standalone mm-hmm. curriculum. It gains the most interest because it's two sports. Oh, it's a total of four sports. So you get two of each. They're getting a taste of how those sports and the STEM behind each one of those sports, which that's a good thing. It means that
gotcha.
The students, teachers are really, really interested. Like, how
yeah.
does this actually work with this sport or that sport? And then they find out and they're like, I want more. I want to learn more. So
yeah. I love that.
Kind of
that's great.
And both internally and with our end users out there.
Well, the other thing that I love about sports and why I like to use that a lot when I go visit schools and whatever and am talking about science is the technology behind mm-hmm. the equipment. I mean, oh my gosh, what they have done with, I mean, and it's funny because certain sports have a lot of tech, like golf. There's so much technology in golf. And some of the other sports don't have so much, right? Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where you want to learn about the technology. But one time a student asked me, isn't using more technology to improve your game cheating, right? So what do you say to that? That's a rather, first of all, yay, that's an intuitive question.
Yeah.
But kind of like, how do you answer stuff like that?
I love that you brought this piece up. So we have at least, I'm going into I'm writing STEM hockey right now.
Oh, cool.
Which will be our
okay.
top 12th curriculum. And growing up an hour north of Detroit and family played hockey, it's huge. So love the sport. And so when I was, you know, writing it, the lesson that we've written in other curricula similar is looking at instant replay and the technology behind instant replay.
Yes.
And then we build in the engineering design process and brainstorming some criteria and constraints behind instant replay. Are you for or against it?
Very good.
Your thought, isn't it cheating? Isn't it, you know, we like to see both sides. And actually at the end, based on all those stances for or against, we let students write a letter to, like, you know, fictionally, they get to write a letter to the commissioner of baseball or the commissioner of the NHL.
Okay.
Giving their stance based on
yes.
what they brainstormed, taking the steps of the cycle. And how did you get here? How did you come up with this? Give us something based on evidence and reasoning. So it's a great. The T is a really important one because you have people more on the progressive side. And that's okay. If we can find that common ground by putting our heads together, I think that's a good thing. And our curriculum, I think, does some of that. And preps them, again, how do engineers become engineers? Well, they follow these steps.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I love that you add the engineering design process mm-hmm. in there and how now through a few different answers, you've kind of described how your students and your curricula, basically it's a starting point and then it opens up that inquiry base of they want to learn more. I am a huge fan, even though Larry Legend's my guy, I grew up in Boston.
Yep.
I'm a huge fan of Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
And since his passing, I've actually become more of a student of how Kobe Bryant was a student of his game. And he openly admits every time he was asked the question of Kobe, how did you, it was work and study. Like if I wanted to know why my shot at the end of the game wasn't making it to the basket, I had to figure out exactly as you were saying with force and velocity earlier, I needed to work my legs mm-hmm. when I was younger. I wasn't just throwing up my shot with my arms.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot more professional level athletes are talking more about, even if they may not be getting into, you know, the engineering design or force and math.
They might not use the terms.
Yes. They may not be going all the way to STEM sports detail level, but they are talking about those concepts.
Yeah.
Do you find that that is helping your business make those connections?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you think about, again, it is that science behind it. It is the physics behind it. When you think of someone who, as for myself, I was a very good shooter, but I spent a lot of time learning mm-hmm. to how the motion of your body, meaning keeping the elbow in, as far as using your lower extremities, upper extremities to create, we talked about this, that trajectory, more arc on the ball, the right rotation off the hand. Those things directly relate to physics. You don't need to go that far in depth with it, but you need to make mechanical changes on the court. And it certainly relates to exactly what we do. Yeah, I mean, it's part of my background, both coaching, you know, teams as well as one-on-one. There's a lot of science behind that, definitely. And if as a player, whether it be Larry Bird or Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan, Steph Curry, these are players that, you know, have not just put the time in the gym, but they've had to put, you know, that they've had to connect that mechanical, that step piece to it as well.
Yeah.
You know, to get where they are. So both are important. You have to have both.
Yeah, that's what I say in my book and in the talks I've done about that is, you know, if you are an athlete, learning more about your sport, your science, the technology, the engineering, why is a football shaped like a football, right? Yeah. The very first football was round and it didn't work very well when they tried to throw it through the air.
Yeah.
Right. And so learning about all of that stuff helps you become a better athlete. It we may not name it, as Jeff was saying, like we may not say, okay, I'm using Newton's law number 2 to throw this ball, but it's there subliminally, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, in a lot of our curricula, we actually, I'll write an article about more of the historical context of the sport and we get into
right
from start to finish. And then there's that kind of an aha moment for students, like, oh, that's how it started. They have more of an appreciation of the game and where it came to from some of our first athletes and how they worked to get, you know, to where the game is now. So it's that historical context is very, very important. And again, that's advancement, that's technology. That's why typically in our curriculum, we start with kind of the sports side, we start with kind of the fundamentals of the game, the historical background, equipment, things like that, some basic fundamental pieces. And then we at the end, we usually get to the advancements. How far has this sport come?
Oh, you know, yes.
And that sport, it's come a long ways. Why? Because STEM dictated a lot of that. And that's woven in there, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
Right. So could you go a little farther into STEM sports itself? Is your curricula more geared towards like individuals and families? Or is this for schools and districts? Where our listeners, if they're involved, can they get to your website or should they really be trying to get their teachers or people at their school to get to your website?
Really good question. You know, I think that all of the above.
Okay,
starting
great.
With the school day, we look at, well, I say school day and extended days, both teaching mm-hmm. myself and then being a former extended day director and summer camp program director, they were, you know, we have tons of purchase and people who use it in both sectors of basketball playing, as well as community centers, YMCAs, Boys and Girls Clubs, very, very popular, were, you know, purchased across the country. And because, again, our curriculum is very scalable. It's something where you can, the way it's written, you can certainly adjust certain parts of it, meaning if my student is a little bit more on the academic side of it, I'm going to focus a little bit more on the academic rigor in the STEM concepts piece, or if they're more on the kind of, I would say, at the hands-on physical literacy side of it, you know, I can focus a little bit more on the sports piece that connect the academic kind of dot there to kind of fuse that. Now, not only is it purchased at home, we actually offer an all-star subscription model as equipment with as well. That's purchased at home. So it's like a 5-month subscription, but certainly reach out, ask us, you know, one of our team members will help as far as if you're looking at it from at home learning for your kids, as far as STEM and sports go, that is used at home. Doesn't mean our full curriculum is not, but our full curriculum is most popular in that school space, as well as, you know, community center settings, because again, you're looking at both academic and again, the recreational side of it. So those are the most, you know, popular spaces that we are in, but it doesn't mean it can't be used at home.
Yeah,
right.
And as far as administering it, being able to teach it, as I said, it's written in a way that is very intuitive. Of course, myself, definitely at the forefront and more than happy to help as a, you know, lead team member on our curriculum and willing to help anyone who calls and inquires about our product.
Yeah,
that's great.
That sounds like fun. And, you know, I think the one thing that I've learned, I mean, I still like run and swim and bike and, you know, so there's all of that as a part of it. And, you know, like, for example, when I rode my bike the last time, I was like, oh, I have to pump up my tires next time because it's taking me like, there's much more effort to go. So it made me think about, you know, the physics and how the air leaks out of the tires. I mean, I think if everyone can, you know, if they use this or even just from the show, look around and see the sports and think about the science as it's happening, you know, that will help them even just understand the concepts, right?
I'm glad actually we brought that up, Jennifer. I want to give our listeners a little sneak peek as a lesson I just finished in STEM hockey as far as molecular structure goes with ice, because we write a little lesson on playing surface of ice. And when we talk about the three states of matter between a gas, liquid, and solid, how do we get to ice? And we see, you know, obviously an increase in energy, increase in molecules, versus when ice melts, the opposite transformation takes place. So just a little sneak peek into something that will be part of that curriculum. We'll get into that, how that's constructed. And really, I think it'll be engaging for students. I have no doubt about that. We also do a lesson in basketball where we do talk about, you know, PSI. And then as far as I grew up in Michigan, so I go out in the garage in October. I'm like, basketball is almost flat. I'm frustrated. Bring it out to Arizona. That's not an issue. Plenty of molecules in that basketball due to the heat and energy. So,
Think
about that. They're like, I didn't know that, because obviously, you know, we can't see. There's things we can't see with the naked eye. But and I did not care for chemistry at all. But it simplifies it. I mean, I did not do well in that course, but this does simplify. That makes me excited that I can do that for our students and my team as well. We have a great team at STEM Sports that work together well.
That's terrific. Awesome. One example fits right into that. I actually live in Colorado Springs, which is Olympic City, USA. Mm-hmm. And I am a former volleyball player, volleyball coach. And we used to be the home of men's and women's USA volleyball. But we are at 6,700 feet up in the air here in Colorado Springs. Yep. And it turns out we had lost a few Olympic gold medals in a row, and our coaches and players, not very thrilled about that. And I was actually friends with, at the time, the CEO of USA Volleyball, Doug Beal. And what they actually figured out was that the teams training and playing up here more than a mile high in Colorado was actually changing the way that they played the game. And they traveled the world and played at sea level everywhere else, because the ball is different, the serves are different, the attacks are different. So they actually moved the base of USA Volleyball out to California. So it's back down at sea level. Guess what came next? Gold medals. I know Jen's about to start asking about a challenge here soon. One of the things I heard you say earlier on, and I really loved what you said, was that when you're talking to the athletes and the jocks, and you're using sports to start to delve into the science to learn those things, you don't have to go very deep. which is what you said. And I think going deep is what scares more people.
Yeah.
If you just kind of touch on the concepts and then share them the way that it sounds like you do with STEM sports, it sounds like it truly makes it accessible to everybody.
It does. Yeah, great point, Jeff. I mean, that's the thing is when I hear the term like word physics, that scares
me. Yay! But not everybody does that.
Is Jennifer on that dork side or is she more on the...
That's me. I'm on the engineering physics side.
We need those more than we need athletes. So, but that's the thing. You're right. We do simplify it.
Yes.
You know, we want to reach all educators, all students. And I believe we do that. We will now, I believe for generations to come, is the end goal. And how do they become, and they're, as we talked about, what encompasses our curriculum is that mindfulness piece between the educators and the students. Right. How can I use this? How can I teach this? How can I use this in the real world and to serve the greater good? And that is my end goal as a person in life. And like I said earlier, I'm very blessed to have this opportunity, as well as all the great professionals such as yourselves that I get to come across and share this information with. And of course, internally, our team at STEM Sports.
Yeah.
And the people I've learned from as far as writing curriculum development, the standards. I want to say Rachel Kisner was a person that was just so critical in my development and learning around science. And I'll say the dork side of it. And it has been so advantageous.
We proudly wear that crown here on this show, don't we, Jeff?
Absolutely.
That's it right there. We want to simplify to reach everyone. And I think we'll continue to do that.
That's our goal.
It's our mission and our vision.
That's fantastic. So, okay, we are at the time in the show where I ask for a challenge from our guests. So, Sean, what challenge do you have for our listeners?
So, you know, today's obviously STEM and sports, but most people get more excited about the sports piece. So what I want everyone to do is you're watching this weekend's college football games or NFL games or the hockey season just starting now, we're in baseball playoffs. I want you to try to extract something from there that relates to maybe the one component or all four components of STEM.
Yeah.
Make that connection. See if you can bridge that gap. I guarantee you can. Of course, you know, I know the University of Michigan plays Penn State, so go blue. I want to make that shout out there. So, being from Michigan.
Well, and I say, and then share your observation with your family, right? And maybe have a discussion about how science, you know, maybe they could improve the way that they're throwing. You know, you could give the quarterback a little tip, right, for how he threw that.
I was just about to say, I feel like a whole bunch of listeners are going to be virtually giving some coaches some tips scientifically on what they could be doing better.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, you know, what is it quarterback and he throws off the back foot? He seems more inconsistent. He gives him like velocity as opposed to when he's on the move.
Science and sports together. That's awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
This has been a fabulous conversation. Thank you so much, Sean, for being on Solve It for Kids.
My pleasure. Anytime. More than happy to be here and continue to support, like I said, our educators and our students as much as we can.
Awesome.
Absolutely a fascinating conversation. It sounds like STEM sports has some incredible curricula and lessons. Just that challenge itself, with so many sports to be able to watch, whether it's your own kid's game or you're watching a professional sport on TV. I know the next time I turn on an NFL game, I'm a football fan, I am absolutely going to be watching for speed, angles of the football, you know, speed and power in tackles. What about you, Jennifer?
Yes, but then I've been doing that for years. I always see science in everything that I do, and that's what I tell the kids when I go visit schools and so forth. I love football. That's what I like to watch. But when I was a kid, I grew up playing basketball with my brothers. You know, the horse. If it was a short game, it was cow, right?
Yes.
But you have to learn angles and math and engineering and all those kind of things to bounce the ball off the backboard and get it into the hoop. So there's science everywhere and engineering and technology. So definitely make sure the next time you watch sports, or here's this, talk to your coach about it and see what they think. about
absolutely. And dare I even say, maybe get Jennifer's book, The Secret Science of Sports, to go along with this episode, and you will become that sports science, that combination of jock and geek we were talking about with Sean.
Exactly. And we always love to hear from all of our listeners. So
yes.
If you want to share your favorite sport or your favorite sports science with us, be sure to tag us on our social media. We are at KidSolve at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And don't forget to check out our website, solveitforkids.com. There will be a page for this episode on here, and you never know what kind of sports we're going to connect with STEM on that page, so go check it out.
Absolutely. And until our next episode, Jennifer and Jeff will be paying attention to the science in everything, including sports. Mm-hmm. You'll hear us next time on
Solve It for Kids.